Your home for high school football. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And our halftime show brought to you by the Horn Law Group. If you're going to court, then call them first for a free consultation located in downtown Toms River. Check out their legal services at hornlawgroup.net.
Pretty impressive performance by Jackson in the first half of this one. We'll take you through the scoring in this contest. It was Vinny Lee, the first one at the 6:56 mark of the first quarter. Jackson led 7-0. The Jags would come back 90 seconds later after a turnover, a four-yard touchdown run from Mike Golick to make it 14-0 after the first quarter of play. Three more scores for the Jags coming in the second quarter. This one at the 10:43 mark. Golick again from 7 yards out, 21-0. Jackson led in this one. And then with a minute 13 to go in the second quarter, touchdown pass from Joe DeMeo to Matt Cashton over from 53 yards out, 28-0. Tack on a 40-yard field goal from Jared Calhoun to make it 31-0 as time was expiring. Dominant performance so far right now by the Jags. They lead 31-0. Let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll go down to the sideline for Ed Saraluca. Make this a 60-second break. It's Jackson 31, Brick nothing. We're back with more high school football on our Jersey Mike's Game of the Week on the Shore Sports Network. And we are back here. We are at the half. We're in the Central Jersey Group 4 semifinal taking place in Brick. It is the Jaguars of Jackson leading the Green Dragons 31-0. Kevin, busy night of high school football around. What's going on the scoreboard?
Yeah, let's run them by you real quick, Matt. Central Jersey Group 5, it is Manalapan and Hillsboro scoreless at the half. In Central Jersey Group 3, Cinderella continues. Ocean Township, the 8th seed, leads Mattawan 14-7 at the half. In the other sectional semifinal, it's number 2 Long Branch with a 17-14 lead on Carteret. Of course, we're here in Central Jersey Group 4, the other half of this one. It is top-seeded Middletown South with a 10-3 lead on Neptune. In Central Jersey Group 2, Rumson, the number 2 seed, all over Cinnaminson at the half, 28-7. As we mentioned earlier, in Central Jersey Group 1, Shore, the top seed, leading Middlesex 14-13. In South Jersey Group 5, Cherokee with a 20-7 lead on Toms River North at the half. In South Jersey Group 3, it is top-seeded Allentown 7, Central 6, the Golden Eagles scoring late in the first half. In non-public Group 3, Red Bank Catholic, despite being outgained, is now tied at the half.
Let's go down to the field. Time for our halftime interview. We'll get more analysis on this game and some thoughts from some of those scores from around the shore. And Saraluca standing by with our very own Scott Stump.
As Scott Stump hits the Twitter line right here, he's got more information than we could handle at this halftime. But Scott, let's talk about this one first. The only word is a stunner right here. Absolutely stunned everybody in this stadium on this green side is.
I mean, anybody who saw that first matchup that went to overtime really thought these were two tight teams, but Jackson has left no doubt. They ascended to that number one spot in our rankings after the RBC win. They're looking every bit the number one team in the Shore. And I think perhaps the most surprising thing is the two interceptions of Carmen Sclafani. I mean, he's not a quarterback who turns the ball over a whole lot, but not only that, Jackson is essentially scoring at will on offense. I mean, Joe DeMeo has played in just a sensational all-around half between some great pass breakups and an interception on defense, that beautiful bomb to Matt Castronova for the touchdown, moving the chains with his legs and throws. It's almost like he's kind of got that, hey, don't forget about me. There's a quarterback on the other team, too.
Yeah, he's playing with a little chip on his shoulder. You know, he hears about Sclafani and Anthony Brown and, you know, Eddie Hahn, and he said, hey, you know, I'm a pretty good senior quarterback also, and he is not just managing this game, he's starring in this game.
Absolutely, and you can clearly also see the difference Matt Castronova makes this time around. He did not play in that first game because he was still sitting out due to the transfer rule after coming over from Jackson Liberty, but, I mean, he gives them such a vertical threat that after they hit that bomb, they were able to hit a lot of underneath routes to Kyle Johnson and Mike Golick because Brick has to be so worried about getting beat over the top by Castronova. He's really a big difference maker because then he loosens up the line of scrimmage and then Golick and Vinny Lee can go to work. This offense just has so many weapons, and with that monstrous offensive line, it's hard to get a hand on DeMeo or get any kind of negative plays to put them in obvious passing downs.
You know, another underrated player that you don't hear a whole lot about is Brody Graham on both sides of the football. You know, he just seems to anchor from that tight end spot, that offensive line, and also the defensive end on defense.
Yeah, he's the guy who he sets the edge on defense where he doesn't let teams get to the outside and run on the perimeter. And on offense, he collapses the end of the line as a tight end to let his guys get out and get into one-on-one situations out there on the perimeter. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because we talk so much these days about, like, the mega athletic tight ends, the Garrett Grahams that are 6'5 and can run. He's an old-school blocking tank of a tight end. I'm a Jets fan. He brings me back to the Kyle Brady days, just an enormous tight end who can just really affect the run game in a major way.
And every now and then chips in with a little pass.
Yeah, he is a receiving threat, you know, and DeMeo has confidence in him in that regard. But, you know, he just – it doesn't always show up in the stat sheet, but – the things that he does that allows other players to make plays are crucial to their success.
You know, it's a tremendous weekend, the semifinal round of the state tournament here in New Jersey and in the Shore specifically. But there's a couple of surprises brewing in the second half. And I know you got some numbers on that St. Joe Montvale RBC game that may, you know, be pretty interesting to the Shore listeners.
Yeah, I mean, it's... first of all, it's 14-14 at halftime. RBC hadn't scored more than 7 points in a game against St. Joe's at all, and they're losing the last 2 years in the semifinals. They got 14 at halftime. They've been outgained, you know, by a fairly big margin. I think it was 261 to about 139. But they've hung right in there. So, and Eddie Hans made some plays, which you knew was going to have to happen. But hey, the fact that they're in a game with them at halftime is a great sign. And the big thing is they're at Count Basie Field. They're the underdog. They have the momentum. They're on their home field. And it could be a big night for the underdogs as Central's on the road, only down 7-6 against the number one seed Allentown in South Jersey Group 3. Central hasn't made a state final since 1994, and it was the only one they've ever made. And then you got Ocean, the eighth seed in Central 3, leading 14-7 late in the second quarter on Matawan. So there could be a lot of good storylines.
Yeah, tell me how a 3-5 Ocean team enters the playoffs, wins last week in the first round, and now is winning at halftime in the second round without their best back and major Division I prospect next year, Tyler Thompson, with a broken leg. How is that happening?
You know, I think it's a couple things. They've definitely ratcheted up their defense. They held Hopewell Valley to only 14 points last week, who has a big-time running back. So Frank Henry, their senior safety, has just had an unreal season, 112 tackles, leads. He actually already has a touchdown catch in the game tonight. And their offense, I think, has become a little bit more difficult to defend. Teams used to just load up against Thompson, but now Marcus Blackman is a senior wide receiver who comes on jet sweeps. He can beat you downfield on passes. They've integrated Henry a little bit more on the offensive side of the ball. You know, they just and Kenny Pickett, their sophomore quarterback, is a mobile kid who can get out of the pocket and make plays with his legs as well as throwing. They've taken care of the ball and haven't really turned it over. You know, you're right. It's crazy to think we could have potentially a 5-5 team in a state final, which I think the only time I can remember a team even having five losses in a state final was Howell years ago against Hunterdon Central, but that was after they lost the state final. No team's ever gone into it with five losses because no teams used to make the playoffs with five losses. System's a little different now. But, hey, that's a real tribute to Ocean. They got in by a pure stroke of luck on the cutoff day when Lawrence lost to a winless Willingboro team, and they have taken full advantage.
Middletown South, the winner gets, not the winner at Middletown South and Neptune gets the winner here, which certainly obviously looks like Jackson. And, of course, Middletown South has lost to Jackson already, right? No, I'm wrong there. I'm sorry. But Middletown South rolling now. They were tied by Neptune 3-3 and then all of a sudden run the kickoff back with a minute to go at halftime and lead that one. So do you see anybody stopping Jackson?
It's funny, Middletown South's the number one seed, perennially a contender in the playoffs, and they are going to be the underdog definitely against this Jackson team. But given Middletown South's defense and the way they've played on that side of the ball this year, any team that plays defense like that, you have to give them a chance. They have six shutouts already. I mean, they have allowed 3 points tonight. Those are the first points Neptune has scored on them in a couple of years, actually. But, you know, with a defense like that, the funny part, though, is Middletown South has not won a state title since 2006, and they've lost in the finals, I believe, four times in a row, at least four or five times in a row. So, and they would have another tall order on their hands. But if any program is up for the challenge, and again, it's still just 10-3. You can't just completely count Neptune out just yet. I mean, but the South, I think you kind of expected to be there. But some of these other scores that are a little closer than I thought, in the sense Long Branch only up 17-14 at half on a Carteret team that they beat 31-6 in the second week of the season. And then you have Shore Regional was a heavy favorite against Middlesex, was up 14-0, but now it's 14-13 at the half. So that's playoff football. There's not a whole lot of gimmies, except we thought we'd be at the game that would be fought to the bitter end. Hey, with that brick offense, they can score in a hurry, so it's not completely over, but they still have to prove they can stop Jackson at all.
Yeah, that was my last question. Can Brick get back in this game? They will get the kickoff as they deferred their choice, which might have been a mistake to give Jackson the ball right off the bat.
Definitely, and I think the biggest thing is just this plays into Jackson's hands, because they're a big physical running team, and if there's anybody who can run out the clock and just take big chunks of time off the clock, they are absolutely built to do that. So the big thing for Jackson is going to be stay aggressive. Don't start playing just not to lose, you know, because you're comfortable. Keep getting after Carmen Sclafani. Keep running the ball. And if you see a shot downfield, take it. And most importantly, just take care of the ball. Don't give them any, you know, a pick six or a fumble or something that will ignite this crowd and let them back into it. They're a well-coached team. And, I mean, you can never count out Carmen Sclafani and those guys. They have the weapons to make this a crazy second half. But from what you've seen so far, Jackson is just a dominant team.
This a screaming halftime or a calm, let's calm down and get back in the game halftime in the Brick locker room?
I think Brick is enough of a veteran team that it's probably a more let's regroup. And I think the thing that really got on the coach's nerves, in addition to other things, were the personal fouls and the, you know, roughing the punter right away. You get a three and out stop to start the game, and you get them a roughing the punter, and that changes the momentum, and Jackson hasn't stopped since then.
Yeah, you put a team in, a team that you want to beat badly, and your home field in a fourth and, I believe it was 19, and you rough the kicker. And it's hard to believe, though, in the first minute and a half of a football game that one penalty, one play can completely change the football game. But that's what that penalty did.
And that's what good teams do. Jackson took full advantage. I mean, and when they've gotten turnovers, they've punched them in and turned it into points. Brick has made way too many mistakes so far to beat a team the caliber of Jackson. So, you know, they've put themselves in a massive hole, and we'll see if they can get out of it. But right now, I'm just blown away by Jackson. I mean, we knew they were good, but they've taken it up a whole other level here these last couple weeks.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, though, but mercy rule in a game that we thought would be, you know, maybe, 21-20 somewhere down the line. Hard to believe that. But, Scott, always good to talk to you. We're a couple weeks away from the final weekend, December 5, 6, and 7, all over the state, Kane University, Rowan University, Rutgers University, and MetLife Stadium. A lot of games to be played there.
Oh, absolutely. That's always it's one of those weekends where you wish you could split yourself into three different people and try and be in four or five different places at once. But, yeah, it's always such an exciting weekend. And, you know, those great venues this year, there's going to be more games at MetLife because the Jets and Giants are not playing that weekend. So kids will get to play on the big stage up there. And that might be the best football that gets played there this year.
Scott Stumpf from the Shore Sports Network, Matt.
All right, Ed.
You heard the end of that one, right?
I sure did. Good ending line to go out on. Let's step out here. We'll take a timeout. We'll make this a two-minute break. We'll come back, recap the first half again before you get you set for the start of half number two. It is 31-0 Jackson as they lead Brick. Halftime of the Central Jersey Group 4 semifinal with a spot in the finals on the line. We're back right after this quick pause. A two-minute timeout on our Jersey Mike's Game of the Week on the Shore Sports Network.
Now back to the Jersey Mike's Game of the Week on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
quick score to pass along of the college basketball variety. Our partners at Monmouth University leading Bethune-Cookman in the home opener tonight, 32-19 the score. They're at the half up there, and you can hear games coming up later this weekend, tomorrow night at 7:30 and Sunday at 4:30. Central Connecticut State, the opponent tomorrow. Towson on Sunday as Monmouth playing three in a row, all games at home. You can catch the next two broadcasts live here on 1160, 1310 a.m. Monmouth football tomorrow as well. Hawks conclude their 2014 season with Gardner-Webb making the trip up to New Jersey from Boiling Springs, North Carolina. I'll have the call with Eddie Iacopinti tomorrow on that one, with the kickoff set, an early kickoff at 12 o'clock. It's 31-0 here, where Jackson leads Brick as the team's just about set to make their way back onto the field. Kevin, this has been a rough go of things so far for the Green Dragons, to say the least.
You know, you almost would love to have been in the locker room at halftime. I think you get point. You're past the point of yelling and screaming. But right now, especially for these seniors, they have to be aware of the fact that there's 24 minutes left in their season unless they, you know, pull off a miraculous second-half comeback. It has been all Jackson. Some numbers from that first half. You know, the Jaguars' ground game led by Vinny Lee, 10 carries for 48 yards. Mike Golic, 8 for 29. Joe DeMeo, 7 for 28 for their total of 105 yards. Meanwhile, Brick running about 33 yards, 28 of it by Ray Fattoruso, and 5 for Carmen Sclafani. So it is the ground game really shut down. DeMeo, a superb first half, as Ed and Scott talked about, 7 for 10 for 141 yards and a touchdown. Could have had a second touchdown. He had one dropped late in the first half. Matt Castronova with 2 catches for 62 yards to lead the offense. Meanwhile,
mic's on, Ed. Turn that microphone off. Ed, turn that microphone off.
Turn your mic off, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just got the update. RBC has taken the lead over St. Joe Montvale.
Thank you, Ed. Carmen Sclafani, 4 for 7 in the first half, for 32 yards with 2 interceptions, and we said he only threw 3 coming in. So a rough first half. Jackson with 12 first downs. Our thanks to our friend Joe Zadalas for those stats. And a couple of real quick notes from other games going on. As you heard Ed say, RBC has gone ahead of St. Joe's Montvale. Wouldn't that be a shocker? Mattawan got a touchdown late in the first half to tie Ocean at 14. George Pearson, the freshman quarterback, 62 yards to Justin Ferraro, who was our guest last night on the Investors Bank High School Football Show. And in that South Jersey Group 3 game, Allentown had the ball to start the third quarter against Central. 3-and-out. Golden Eagles now have it. So
Take one more timeout as the teams make their way back on the field, going through the 3-minute warm-up period. Let's take a 90-second pause. When we come back, we'll be all set and ready to go for the second half kickoff. It's Jackson 31, Brick nothing. We're back after this quick pause with more of our Jersey Mike's Game of the Week on the Shore Sports Network.